Good morning and welcome to Freedom Rings. I'm your host, Kenneth John. With me is my excellent producer, Mike. How you doing?
Excellent. Very good.
Watched the Bulls yesterday?
Yes, I watched a little bit of the Bulls.
Well, 3-0, they get one game, and everybody says it's impossible, and it probably is. But I, being a recovering Cub fan, I hold out eternal optimism. They finally figured out how to beat that zone, that 3-2 zone.
Well, they shot the ball real well, too.
They shot the ball with some confidence, maybe because nothing to lose kind of deal.
Right.
You know, a lot more confidence. So if they could steal one in Detroit.
I'm with you. The hope is still alive.
The hope is still alive. If they steal one in Detroit to come back with Chicago, then it's a one-game series.
You got it. You got it. Now the hope still is alive.
Yeah, that spoke like a true Cub fan.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Oh,
but I'm with you on this one, though.
Yeah.
Seriously.
They figured something out. I mean, and Detroit didn't. I don't think they laid down. They were really trying to win that game.
Absolutely. They didn't want to go another game.
No. So,
No, I'm with you. That's good. That's good.
All right. Moving on to the stupid regulation of the week. And a lot of you may have heard this one because this made the mainstream press. It was so stupid or outrageous or both. Gas station owner told to raise prices. Merrill, Wisconsin, service station that has offered discounted gas to senior citizens and people supporting youth sports, has been ordered by the state to raise its prices. Center City BP owner Raj Bhandari has been offering senior citizens a 2-cent gallon per 2 cents per gallon price break and discount cards to support the local sports. 2-3 cents less a gallon for that. State Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Now, there's a bureaucracy for you. And typical. And Consumer Protection, I emphasize, bold, underline, 636-point font, says those deals are too good. They violate Wisconsin's Unfair Sales Act.
You gotta be kidding me.
Which requires stations to sell gas for about 9.2% above the wholesale price.
Oh, man.
So much for free markets in this country, huh, folks? This is so typical. We got price controls. Even people are just crying. You know, $3.35 a gallon for gas? People are crying.
Mm-hmm.
This guy tries to help out a little bit.
At 2 cents
a gallon.
And he
gets nailed. He's facing these fines per day, you know, in the thousands of dollars, I believe.
Man, oh man.
Bhandari, who bought the station in May 2006, said he worries customers will think he stopped the discounts because he wants to make more money. About 10% of his customers had used the discount cards. Let's see. Dale Van Camp of Merrill said he bought a $50 card to support the local youth hockey program. It would have saved him about $100 per year on gas. Well, that's no chump change.
No, it's not.
Oh, man.
And it wasn't for profit. It was for benefit.
Well, it's any reason. People should be able to charge whatever they want.
Well, that's true.
This is what's wrong with socialism or fascism, folks, or collectivism. This is what's wrong with state control, with bureaucracy. Do you get it yet? Oh, sometimes I get so frustrated. People keep on choosing government control over freedom, and I don't get why. And this is what happens. It comes around and bites you. That you can't even charge what you want for a gallon of gas, folks. Even if you want to be a good guy. You know what it is? It's a racket. It really is fascism, folks. What it is, it's protection of the big guys, so they can jack up the price, and it's supported by government. This is how monopolies do get supported. I keep on saying there's no monopolies in the gas industry, oil industry. Well, I guess I may be proven wrong to a certain extent. If you had price controls like this in the industry, that's why your prices are one reason why your prices are high. They regulate you to death. Only the big guys can afford the regulations. And then they protect themselves through price controls. When is everybody going to have enough? Everybody check out tomorrow. Tomorrow's the 15th, right?
Yes, it is.
Tomorrow night, CNN, the second Republican debate. Ron Paul will be there again to kick some butt. Show what real Republicanism is supposed to be about. So check it out, folks, tomorrow night I don't think it's CNN. I think it's Fox News.
Hmm.
I think it's Fox News. South Carolina debate. And I know the establishment's going to be ready for Ron Paul this time, because Ron Paul won all the online polls, even though everybody's ignoring him. But Ron better be ready for some dicey questions.
I think he'll be ready.
I think he will.
How could you not expect it?
Oh, absolutely. So, it shall be really interesting to see what happens. We are going to have, we got some callers online, huh?
A couple of callers online.
We're going to have a guest today. Is Daniel Imparato, who is a candidate for the Libertarian Party nomination for president. And we'll talk about him, find out if he's a libertarian or not. And he's probably one that's called. I'll tell you what, maybe the other two, is that the guest? Okay, so the other two, why don't we just take them real fast before we go to the guest?
All right.
Hi, who's this?
Hey, it's me.
Jeff.
Hey, kid, do me a favor, you guys. When you're talking to your buddy there, I'll get off and listen. You know, force the issue of taxes in this country and how...
You can bet your bottom Federal Reserve unit, Jeff, that we will discuss taxes.
Yeah, by any chance, have you been listening to Friday's show when Jim is on there and said he's going to take all those letters down to the state capitol? Are you going to be able
no,
to do that?
I haven't heard that, no.
That's a dig, you know, with his show on that, the
right.
Home Improvement show.
Right.
His deal is he's going to be taking letters on that gross receipts tax thing down there and others.
Oh, good
and
for Jim Kearns. I'm glad he's doing that.
Yeah, and I'm strongly urging people to do that. To send letters to Jim, and then he can take them down there. Because the more, I haven't heard anybody that's for this anywhere. It doesn't matter which side of the fence you're on.
Yeah.
It's just they all say it's ludicrous. It's
well, like it probably is going to pass, but something might. We better be leery of what it is. I got to run, Jeff.
All right.
Thanks for your call.
See ya.
All right. Mike, we have somebody else on or not?
No, no one else is online.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then it's a good time to break. This is Freedom Rings. I'm Kenneth John. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. We'll be talking to Daniel Imparato after these messages.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings needs your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bast,
Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings, and I'd like to welcome to the program right now Daniel Imparato, candidate for President of the United States. How are you doing, Daniel?
Very well, thank you.
So you're running for president under the Libertarian Party banner. Are you a member of the party?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am.
You signed the pledge?
I'm not sure if we've completed the pledge from the Liberty Decides. I'd have to talk to my people in Florida. I've been traveling extensively, but I am on your chairman committee because I made a contribution for $5,000 to the party. So,
That's a good thing. I mean, well, party needs money, no question about it. My question is, okay, let me just ask you this. Now, I don't have the pledge in front of me, but
right.
I know the pretty good of the paraphrase. I do not believe in or advocate the initiation of force to achieve political or social goals. Do you agree with that?
I agree with it, but the fact of the matter is that it's been going on for so many years in this country that the American people have allowed it. And we're going to have to find a way to change the direction and the course of the country, but it isn't going to be easy, and it's going to take time.
How are we going to do that?
Well, the first thing that we need to do is we need to put somebody in the White House that's willing to draw a line in the sand and defend the documents of democracy, unconditionally shrink government because it's out of control. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that American people are being milked. There's a tax and spend government. It's been going on for many, many, many years. And there hasn't been one politician, as I call them, that has been able to step up and draw the line and state, you know, we are in trouble. So I'm ready to do it.
Where's your line? Where's the line? Where do you draw that line?
Well, the fact of the matter is the out-of-control spending has been going on so long that our country is basically a bankrupt nation. And the fact of the matter is you know, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, and I also hate to be the doctor that deliver the medicine to the American people. But we need some medicine to cure the problems in this country, and we need to immediately cut back government spending, expansion of government involved in all kinds of areas where all they're doing is taxing, spending, manipulating, and it's killing America.
Well, okay, I'm trying to get some specifics. What about the Department of Education? If you were president and you had the power to do so, would you eliminate the Department of Education?
Well, I don't know that I would eliminate the entire Department of Education until I get in to be able to digest it, but I can tell you that One second, let me answer the question, please. I would unconditionally take it out of the hands of the government, and as far as the Department of Education, maybe it's the government that's destroying it because they're involved in it, and maybe it needs to be put into the hands of the people. Dismantling it, I'd have to look at all the options pertaining to what we would replace it with. But taking control, taking the government's hands out of it, without doubt, we don't need government involved in education.
I don't know what you mean by putting in the hands of the people.
Well, for instance, you have government involved in the schools in this country and with all their regulations. Take that all out. But there's still a system there. If the system was run by the people of the United States and the public and government wasn't involved, the fact of the matter is I think our country would be a much better country that would be able to provide education to our children at a less of a cost and more freely available for the people. The government gets control, not only education, everything, health care, you know, every subject, Social Security. They have milked this country because the people have let them do it. And we need to draw the line, and that's why I've joined the Libertarian Party. It's the best-kept secret in this country. The fact of the matter is I've only been involved with the party for 2 months. I've done a tremendous amount of study, and I visited many of the national conventions. And the problem is the party is not known across the country. They raised $1 million for the last presidential campaign. I've already spent $1 million in my campaign, and they got 0.5% of the vote from the American people. And the sad thing is the party is the greatest best-kept secret in this country, and all they want to do is defend the documents of democracy, shrink government, bring liberty back to the people, give the people the power, and guess what? It makes sense. And if we can just get people like yourself and radio stations like yourself to introduce this party to as many people as possible, I ask the American people, I'm not a perfect libertarian or a purist, I'm a new libertarian. I can tell the American people it's worth opening the door and taking a look. It's a great party. We can actually make a divide between the Democrats and the Republicans and bring a third party to the White House, and the Libertarian Party has the ability. What they need is a leader. I'm a leader. I can do the job, and hopefully I'll get 35% of America's votes to become president.
Okay, Daniel. I'd like the question to be addressed, and I appreciate your support for the Libertarian Party. I think you're very sincere in your hopes of making. Let me finish. I believe you're sincere in your hopes of making the Libertarian Party a viable party in this country. In order for you to become the candidate for the Libertarian Party, you're going to have to go through a pretty grueling convention that's going to be populated by a lot of what you call purists, and I am probably would be one of them. So just so you know where we all stand here, Daniel, and I need in the purists of the party, and there's a reason we're pure, and I don't think it's a negative, should be a negative connotation. We want to protect our principles. I need to ask you once again exactly what you mean by having the people. Let me finish. The people control the educational system. Do you mean just let the marketplace work, get rid of all the property taxes in this country, and privatize education? That's one thing. Or do you mean that we should elect people so that they control the educational system? That's what we have now.
No. The first part of what you said is correct. But listen, let's be honest. Let's stop smoking the wrong cigarettes, okay? This country has been on this
which are the right cigarettes, which are the wrong cigarettes? The ones that never caused any death in this country?
No.
Or the one that caused 350,000 every year?
Let's come down to earth for the moment. Let's leave libertarianism and the great party of the people, which I'm proud of them. They've told the line. They've kept their morals and principles, and they didn't give up. The movement's been around 100 years. They've been trying to vote in a president for 30. But let's set that aside. We got a problem and a culture in America that it's not the libertarians' problem. It's not something that we can't fix. But the fact is, it's going to take time. So what we need to do as a party, in my opinion, is in order to, first of all, implement the libertarian principles. I didn't write the principles. They're in a book. It's called The Libertarian Principles. I'm a man of my word. I deliver like dominoes. I'm known to be a man of my word from all over the world. The fact is, I will implement the principles of the Libertarian Party. But the fact is, if I don't get in the White House, or somebody like me get in the White House, then the principles go out the window because the Democrats and the Republicans, more so the Republicans, they have been stealing the thunder of the libertarian principles while they represent themselves as a candidate. But when they get in the White House, they don't follow the rules. They break every one of them. So we have a culture in this country where, unfortunately, 100 million people voted from the statistics. I may be wrong because I haven't seen the analysis, but my advisors told me 100 million people. Out of 100 million people, half Democrats, half Republicans, 50 million people each. In order for me to even think to represent the libertarian culture and the libertarian principles, which is very simple, the documents of democracy. And we as America deserve the opportunity to defend those documents, and we haven't had the opportunity. Why? Because, number one, the American people have never been exposed on a national basis to the Libertarian Party. Most people don't even know about the Libertarian Party. Number two, there hasn't been a candidate strong enough, powerful enough, popular enough, with a charisma and a knowledge and a wisdom to be able to pull the party forward. Number three, even if I win the presidency and I get 33 million, I've just announced a 33 million person march, I've asked 33 million people to donate $1, to contribute $1 to Imperato for President, so that I can have in my heart and soul the ability to say that the possibility of 33 million votes will come to the Libertarian Party. $1. All I ask the American people is contribute $1 and open the book and read the Libertarian principles. If there's any one American that can stand toe-to-toe with me and tell me that the principles of the party are not correct for this country, I want to hear it directly. I will debate anybody on the subject, because basically the principles are what our forefathers wrote, and they have been abused. So we need to get this message out there, and if I'm lucky enough, God willing, to become president, I'm not going to become president from a half a percent of the Libertarian Party vote, $1 million raised for the party, and 275,000 registered libertarians. I need 33 million Americans. So my job is not to make decisions based upon party, make a decision based upon what's best for the people. I can tell the people in the bottom of my heart that the principles of the Libertarian Party are the best unkept secret of the United States and its history, and they need to come to the party like I did 2 months ago and embrace it, because we can actually effectuate change in this country. And the Libertarian Party has the key to do it. All we have to do is get the message to the people of the United States to say, look, if you're tired of the Democrats, you're tired of the Republicans, you're tired of getting 60% of your money taken out of your paycheck and spent abusively, then you got to do something about it. So step up to the plate and join the party, the Libertarian Party. I've got a voter registration site that we've built. I'm here to win. I'm here to win now, and I can tell you, I'm not a perfect libertarian because I'm new. But I'll tell you one thing, I can follow those books, I can follow those rules, and I can implement the strategies in our government to bring back the morals, the principles to this society that our forefathers wrote in stone. And I'm ready to do it, but you got to give me a chance.
Okay, Daniel, you mentioned that there has never been a candidate for president for the Libertarian Party that was, you mentioned a lot of different adjectives. One was popular enough. I have to tell you the truth. I can think of two presidential candidates, Harry Brown, who was regularly on Wall Street Week for a long time during the 70s, who was in the investment community, was very well known, whom I knew about before I knew about the Libertarian Party. And then there's Ron, he ran twice. And there was Ron Paul, current congressman of Texas, who was a congressman before and ran for president as a Libertarian back in 1988, very well known amongst at least a certain group of people. They all had miserable results. I've never heard about you until a couple of days ago.
Hallelujah. Thanks God. You and about 200 and 300.
Yeah, but you said you need somebody popular enough to win.
Well,
how do you fit that bill? No offense. I'm sure you're very successful in your area of work building stadiums and such. I hope not with any of them was built with taxpayer coerced money, by the way.
Yeah, let me answer your question. First of all, I agree with you that it's hard to be able to get the audience that you need in the American public, especially with the media blocking you and what have you. We've built the broadcast capabilities, and we're going to get to the people. I've been traveling this country and this world for over 30 years. I have my roots. But let's go back to the two candidates, Harry Brown. As far as I'm concerned, great man. God rest his soul. I've read his books. He has a wonderful short, historic background of the real principles of the party, and I've learned a lot from him, God rest his soul. The fact is, that was the 70s. I don't know much about the 70s because I wasn't there then, so I can't really comment.
Well, he actually ran in the 90s.
Right. Well,
but he was but he became popular to a lot of people in the 70s.
But in the '90s, and then coming back to Ron Paul, the fact of the matter is, this party has never raised a serious amount of money or organized the party. You have not had a candidate that was ready, willing, and able to rally and organize 33 million Americans. I'm going to do it.
How do you do that?
Well, through my grassroots program, through my broadcast network, through my relationships across the country, through visiting every libertarian national convention that I could possibly, you know, be at, and
I'm not hearing anything new. I'm not hearing anything new. Well, what's your broadcast network? How many people do you reach every week?
Well, we're in the process of being able to broadcast live to about 30,000 people at a time. We're
you're saying potentially.
No.
You are reaching 30,000?
No, we're in the process of it's the bandwidth. It's not a matter of whether we can do it or not. We're waiting for the increase of bandwidth. Yes.
So you're talking about potentially.
If you come Thursday night on my presidential broadcast, Thursday evening.
That's on the net?
Yeah, there's only a certain amount of people that can get it live because the bandwidth fills up fast.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been increasing it as we need it.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're hitting we're planning, hopefully by next week, I hope if it's installed, about 10,000, and it'll increase to 30,000, which is a 100 megabit pipe. The fact of the matter is I am going to do everything in my power to bring this Libertarian Party to the table. Why? I'll tell you why. And I'll say this to the Libertarian people, and I'll say this to you as a purist. What is more important to you? Staying a purist and standing on the principles of the purist for the party? Or would it be more important as an American to lend your party and to bring a candidate to the White House so that finally you could actually implement what the purist strategy has been since the foundership of the party and the movement? Because if it's only, look, if you look at this, that the purists say, look, he's not a libertarian because he doesn't do this little thing. Well, you weren't a libertarian at one time, and they weren't a libertarian. It takes time for people to be able to embrace the party, but more important than that is...
It does take time. That's the point, sir. It takes time.
Well,
see, I think you got the cart before the horse, with all due respect.
Well,
I think you think that you can use marketing skills and communicative ideas and methods in order to reach the American people, and then they're going to automatically embrace libertarian ideals. I'm afraid that's not true. They've been indoctrinated for too long, for too many tens of scores of maybe hundreds of years, at least over 100 years, to the contrary. That collectivism is the answer, and I really, purists don't want to not get elected. We just think you have to first win the intellectual and the cultural battle first before you can win politically, and frankly, we may have won the intellectual battle, we certainly have not won the culture.
Right, but the fact of the matter is it's for three reasons. Number one, you haven't had the ability to massively introduce the party to the people. And I just brought Shane Corey, the head of your director in Washington, to some people of mine in the marketing area to introduce this party across the country. I'm working on programs to introduce this party across the country. I'm working with Shane Corey and Red Path on the ballot access. I've got Ross Perot's lawyers that work for me, Matt Sawyer, who's working with Mr. Hall, your lawyers, to be able to look at the ballot access strategy, what it's going to cost to get a 50-state access. I'm willing to.
A lot of us think we've wasted our money for a long, long time getting 50-state ballot access.
Well, the fact of the matter is according to your, according to the Libertarian organization, they say they'll have 45 states there is some money needed. I'm willing to help. The fact of the matter is that I'm doing this for two reasons. I should say three, but the first reason is America needs a change, and it's in trouble. We're a bankrupt nation. We're in trouble. So I owe it to myself and to the people of the United States of America. I have a fiduciary responsibility that if I can help, as I did in 9/11 helped, if I can help my government and I can help my country, then I have a responsibility as a citizen to help. So I'm putting my brains, my knowledge, and my wisdom and my money to be able to help this country as a servant for the people.
All right, if you don't get the nomination, will you still help just as much?
Of course. Number two, the fact is that I was just in Manchester, New Hampshire last night at one of a libertarian event. Okay, these people have been, you know, supporting George Phillies, the candidate. God bless him, he's a nice man, but he could never carry the weight of America's problems and on his shoulder. I love him to death, he's a professor. You have to be a maverick to run this country. You have to be a man that knows the world very well. You have to be able to deal with major, major issues. The fact is that
George Phillies will not be your competition, by the way.
I don't have competition right now. The fact is that the Libertarian Party unconditionally, and this isn't from me, I'm not trying to sell anything here. It's factual. The principles of the party is what this country needs. And everybody, I'm going to tell you fact, everybody that I have touched that knew nothing about this party, when I tell them what it's about, you know what they say? I'm voting for you.
Well, that sounds great. What's your stance? Do you talk about people about the war on drugs and where your stance is on that?
Well, I mean, you know, as I said on a radio program, I think it was yesterday, look, I grew up in Revere, Massachusetts. I grew up in the drug days. I grew up I can't remember the name, up in Vermont. They had the big, you know, pot days and all that stuff. I was around in those days. I can tell you that I've seen more people, you know, die and be sick of alcohol than I've had seen smoking marijuana. So, look, God bless the people if they want to smoke, they want to drink, they want to do whatever they want to do in their home. But the Libertarian Party does say, as long as it doesn't forcefully hurt someone else.
Right.
So the question as I had to the radio station was the other day, if marijuana was legal in this country, and I was sitting on the public television as President of the United States doing my broadcast and I was taking a smoke, you think the American people would respect that?
That's not the point.
No,
that's not the point, and that's not the question. The question is whether or not you think most of us and all libertarians would consider the hugely deleterious effects of the war on drugs. Let's not even talk about drugs right now. Just the war on drugs and what it's done to our constitutional rights, what it's done to the corruption of the police department, what it's done for corrupting of the young people to take drugs.
Oh, the war on drugs is another scam. It's another money launder. It's another milk case for the government. Everybody knows that. I mean, anybody who has any brains realizes, what is the war on drugs? It's a washing machine of money. And as long as the machine continues to wash, the politicians continue to put in new plans and new this and new that, it's a scam. The fact is fighting drugs is not going to come from a war on drugs. These drugs that are coming in, the coca coming from Colombia and Venezuela and all these areas, what war on drugs? We're spending billions of dollars wasted. The fact is there are ways to be able to implement strategies in this country for legalization of marijuana and, you know, that kind of thing. But the war on drugs is the same thing that you have in Afghanistan. You have the poppy. The poppy is the washing machine for the war in Afghanistan. They didn't wipe out the poppy because they don't want to wipe out the poppy because they keep making money on the war on drugs. So the problem is here that our government is spending tons of our money for nothing, because there is no war on drugs. What it is, it comes down to, we need to educate our children about the precautions and about the repercussions of handling these types of substances, and we have to educate them so that they can take their choice whether they want to do it or not. And I believe that if we spend our money educating our public and we use the people to educate the other people, I think the people of this country could probably handle themselves much better than what our government is doing, because all they're doing is spending, 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 and it's worse. We've got people in jails for smoking marijuana.
Well, and it's outrageous, but I'd say it's not just a money-seeking scam. It's a tragedy that's happening on a day-to-day basis. I think if you ask the family of the 92-year-old lady who was shot dead through a no-knock search back in Georgia, if it's a war on drugs, they'd say yes. It's a tragical war with so many innocent people being killed. And I hear what you're saying, Daniel, about the fiduciary aspects of the war on drugs. But I don't hear any of the caring of all the innocent people being destroyed.
It's not a war.
Well, when you have 16, 20 ninjas attacking your door, blasting in, and then shooting, and then asking questions later, what do you call it?
You're right. That's a violation. What they did to the immigrants in Los Angeles is disgusting.
Yeah.
Whoever ordered the police to shoot rubber bullets at those poor people, they ought to be fired, and they ought to be taken off the patrol, and they ought to be fined to death. Because these people, and I don't mean that death killed them, they ought to be fined because these people didn't deserve. You're right. But look, a war, this word, war, I hate the word. I hate the term war. War is against the country. We have a, if you want to call it a fight against drugs, yeah, we have a fight. We would like to see our children not do drugs for their health and their benefit. But to go into people's homes and like they're doing in Iraq, what do you think's going on in Iraq? There's no war in Iraq. War is against the country. This situation in Iraq, if somebody came, as you said, like a ninja turtle, I'm with you 1,000%. If somebody came to my door and knocked on my door and wanted to knock my door down with like ninja turtles, I'd take my shotgun and I'd blow their heads off if they came to my house. They have no right to come in my house.
No, they don't. Just the power, not the right. We're talking with Daniel Imparato, candidate for President of the United States, the Libertarian Party. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. That's 931-1410. If you have any questions, comments, observations, please give us a call. We will be back after a few messages.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator.
57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones.
Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19 out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected Bill Clinton as president.
And re-elected him.
And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public schools.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. John Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. John Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need software installed and configured? Call John. Want to learn word processing or Excel spreadsheets? Call John. John Spazieri comes to your home,
works with you one-on-one on your machine and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want to upgrade your computer? Call John. Need to build a wireless network? Call John. Call John Spazzeri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazzeri. Make him your go-to tech guy. I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. Okay, we are back with Freedom Rings, and we're talking with Daniel Imparato, who is the is a candidate for President of the United States under the Libertarian Party banner. Daniel, you keep on mentioning the term documents of democracy, I'm with you with the spirit of that, but just a quick point. I assume you're referring to the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. The Constitution,
and the Bill of Rights,
which is part of the Constitution. The Constitution doesn't mention word democracy once. When Benjamin Franklin asked what was given to the people, he said a republic if you can keep it. And there is a distinction there, and I know a lot of people have.
The fact of the matter is the documents of democracy, the makeup of the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution. And I call them the documents of democracy because that's the way I've studied them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The way I've studied them as a kid. That's
I know they call it democracy, and that's one of the problems with our government school system, that our founding fathers actually abhorred democracy. It was Thomas Paine, I think, called democracy the most vile form of government. A constitutional republic, on the other hand, protects individual rights no matter what the majority votes on.
Socrates. Well, I can tell you that your purest side of libertarianism runs deep, and I will have to study that subject more.
Okay. Okay. Oh, I appreciate that. It seems to me you do bring a certain energy level, a certain probably marketing skill, and maybe some money to the party. But you are, as you admittedly say, relatively new to the party, to the philosophy. What makes you think that you have the requisites to be the torchbearer of the party? Maybe you might be better suited behind the scenes helping us out with these things you say you're an expert at.
I don't have to be behind the scenes because I can go run as a Democrat and Republican and win. So let me mention something to you. You missed one thing. I have the wisdom to run this country and the experience, knowledge, know-how, resume, track record, and the fact of the matter is, if the Libertarian Party wants to take a leap in faith and lend its party to the greatest change in this country by cutting a hole between the Democrats and the Republicans, then so be it. If the Libertarian Party does not want to do that, then I'm sorry to say that the Libertarian Party will never get the chance to make the statement that they supposedly want to make, and that's get in between the Democrats and the Republicans and put a representative in the White House. So they have to understand, in order to do that, they're going to have to take new libertarians like me, prune me, sandpaper me, and polish me to be able to adapt my wisdom to deploy it within the principles of liberty, which can be done. It's not rocket science. It's not something that I can't do.
I'm actually a finisher of wood, and I would suggest to you, Daniel, that it takes a lot of care and time to do it right.
I'm trying my best. I'm studying all the books.
Yeah, but you're but still green. The wood's still green. We need you need to be aged a little bit.
You want to get together and give me some teaching? I'll be more than happy. But my rabbi does that. Let me tell you something. The Libertarian Party, in my opinion, it's an organized party, and they have to make a decision. Is this party willing to contribute to the American people, its party, to be able to be able to separate and to be able to break the control of the Democrats and the Republicans and the special interest groups? If the Libertarian Party is willing to be kind enough to lend its party to the American people, then I can tell you that I have the ability to attract those people to embrace the party, but they're not going to be perfect purists because, as you said, it takes time. But what they can guarantee on with me is if the Libertarian Party nominates me as their candidate, I can tell you this. I will raise more money for their party than they raised last time because I can put more money in the party than they raised myself because I've already done it for myself. Number two, I can bring more voters to the Libertarian Party than their last candidate did because they only got 0.5% of the vote. And if I can't prove that to the delegates at the convention in May, then I shouldn't be their candidate. So all I'm doing is pruning, sandpapering, learning from people like you. As a matter of fact, I want to comment you that the advertisers you have on your radio station, great stuff.
Thank you.
Some of the best I've heard. In fact, I'm going to call them all. I took their numbers. I'm going to make a little contribution to them, and hopefully I can get some more knowledge. You've got some great people on the station, a couple of good organizations, different than a couple of the other stations I've been on. So I respect you. But look, give me a chance. I can promise you this. By the time May comes of 1 year from now, I'm going to be pruned and sandpapered. But I also want to tell you, I'm not going to make decisions based upon party affiliation. I'm going to make decisions based upon what's best for the people of the United States. And what's best for the people of the United States is the Libertarian Party.
All right.
That's
well,
my opinion.
We do have a phone call.
Okay, great.
John, how you doing?
Hi. Dan, I wanted to know where you stand on the war in Iraq and also on the 16th Amendment to the Constitution.
Well, let's go to the war in Iraq. The fact of the matter is that a year and a half ago, I called on our president to cease fire. And there's two things in America that the American people are tired of. One is they're tired of shedding blood, and they're tired of the children dying. And two is they're tired of using taxpayers' money to finance this war. So it's a very simple solution to at least stop for a moment, cease fire, withdraw the troops from the firing lines. I don't say bring the troops home. No, we can't bring the troops home. Not at this point anyway. We're in too deep. I didn't create this, but I can tell you right now, we have been sucked in to one of the biggest suck-ins, if not the biggest that our country's ever been sucked into. And if we run away with our head between our legs, we're going to have problems as a country because we will lose respect from the world. And yes, I do believe if the Democrats get into the White House, my personal opinion is we are going to have more terrorist problems. I agree with that. The fact is that Iraq, ceasefire, stop killing our children. Go back to Maliki. Say, look, Mr. Maliki. Kif halak habibi alhamdulillah in Arabic. It's time you show my fellow Americans who have come to this nation of Iraq to free and to bring freedom to your people. It's time you show some respect to the American people by coming up with an oil program that is at a discounted price for the next 20 years that pays back the $1 trillion to the American people for the blood they lost and for the money they spent trying to help your country.
Well, what about the 16th Amendment? We just have about a minute or less.
Let me finish.
I mean, we're trying to cover that.
No, so. I'm talking about Iraq. I want to finish the answer.
All right.
The fact of the matter is, Iraq is a situation where the American people and yourself, you have to understand, how many times have you been in the Middle East? I've been there 1,000. The fact of the matter is, I have offices in Abu Dhabi. I have offices in Cairo. I have children. Last night, I was in the Women's Brigham Memorial Hospital here in Boston, becoming the godfather to an Egyptian Muslim child who I watched be delivered from family of mine and friends from Cairo. The fact of the matter is that the Middle East and the problem we have is 22 countries in the Middle East have majority support the Americans being in the region for one of the biggest reasons only. It's to put a wedge between the fact that America supports Israel and the Arabs do not want America to support Israel, so they want to give us our own base so that they can say, now we don't have to be best friends with Israel as our representative in the Middle East, and they can put a wedge, the same way the Libertarian Party needs to put a wedge between the Democrats and the Republicans.
Okay, we're running out of time, Dan. Could you, yes or no, repeal the 16th Amendment?
I have to study the 16th Amendment. I am not...
It's the income tax. Income tax.
No, but look, income tax, there's no one in America that wants to pay tax. So cut it all. But let's be honest. In order to go to sincerely to cut back taxes, I don't want to pay taxes. You don't want to pay taxes. Tired of taxes. The whole country is. But the fact of the matter is, I'm against it, of course. But it takes time to
proceed. You want to throw out your website? 5 seconds. I got to go.
Imperado2008.com. 30 million people, a dollar each. Imperado2008.
All right. Thank you, Daniel, for being
on
the show.
Thank you. God bless you.
All
bye
right.
now.
Oh, quotation of the week from Emma Goldman. Oh, where's the quotation? I lost it. I'm sorry, folks. That's all right. I'm dumbfounded anyway. Boy, somebody could out-talk me. Almost. I just let it talk.
Nice.
All right. Well... Have a good week, folks. We'll see you next week.
The preceding paid program sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications.